Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you on The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome to today's show, Wednesday, February 22nd.
Happy Hump Day!
Yes, sir.
Forgot to put my mic on after okay. The sports report recording.
It's quite all right.
Whoops!
Quite all right. It is Hump Day. The midway of your work week, leading you into the better half of your work week, I guess you can say.
Downhill once you get over today.
Hopefully.
Headed toward the weekend.
Hopefully. Starting off today's show, some Major League Baseball news. Major League Baseball and the Players Union, they agreed to use the dugout signal for the intentional walk. We talked about this, I want to say like a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, when this was first starting being reported. But this is part of the initiative to improve the pace of play of the game. Major League Baseball approved the change to the intentional walk rule, going from the traditional four-pitch walk to a dugout signal, team and union sources told ESPN's Howard Bryant. We talked about this, whether we liked it or disliked it, and whether it really have an impact on how fast the game would go. It really is not going to have that big of an impact.
No.
I think we talked, I don't remember the exact number of pitches, but I believe there was just over 900 all of last season. And it came out to be about once every 2.5 games or something like that.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal. But this is going to eliminate about a minute of dead time per walk.
Oh boy!
Oh wow! Yeah, in a 3.5-hour, 4-hour game, that's really not that much time. But it's just interesting that this is a move by Major League Baseball, and there's going to be more changes. You got to believe in the next couple of years, but this is the first step in actually trying to improve the pace of play. We've talked about it multiple times. The way they're going to improve pace of play is, it's those batters who step out of the box every time that there's a pitch thrown to adjust their gloves. It's those
yep.
pitchers who take more than enough time on the mound. Those are the ways that you're going to be able to go ahead and improve the pace of the game. Not taking away something that happens maybe once every three games. This is a small move, and yes, maybe it'll be a good move for the future of baseball, but in the grand scheme of things, this isn't going to take away that much time.
I think
it really is not.
The most impactful thing is it'll save the pitcher 4 throws of his arm, I guess.
Yeah.
Roll with the ball to the
pretty much could.
Yeah.
Why not do that? I mean, it, you're right, though. It would save 4 pitches, even though they're not pitching, to hit a certain spot on the strike zone or pitching with pace. It still is 4 pitches towards towards the plate. And it does take that aspect into consideration in how it affects these pitchers. But in terms of baseball as a whole, this isn't that big a deal. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, is trying to make a bigger deal that this is a priority of alterations for Major League Baseball to go ahead and get rid of, or to go ahead and improve the pace of play. It's not really going to improve that much. Also in baseball news, Alex Rodriguez, he returned to the Yankees, but this time as a special advisor yesterday, and he was asked again whether he would ever play the game of baseball, and he shut the door on that. The 41-year-old A-Rod said for the first time he is officially retired, declaring there is a 0% chance he will change his mind. Now, if you remember back to last season when there was that unique breakup with the Yankees in August, they went ahead and cut him but let him play for one last week with the team. And he doubled in his final game at Yankee Stadium. And after the game, there were said to be few offers around Major League Baseball to have him continue to play the rest of the 2016 season, one of those being the Miami Marlins. But Rodriguez said he thought about it for a minute. He flew his whole family home after the Friday night after that game. Thought about it a little bit over the weekend, and you know, he was fortunate to have a few offers, but he said no thank you to those. You know, the reason why he's saying no thank you, Wally, the Yankees are still paying him $21 million this season not to play on the team, and that is per his 10-year, $275 million contract. So he's getting $21 million to not play baseball.
Crazy.
Who knows what he's getting paid to be as a special advisor for the Yankees. Maybe not much, but still, they're paying him $21 million to not play baseball for the New York Yankees. Of course you're not going to play. I mean, yeah, there's the competitive aspect and love for the game. But can we really, you know, say that A-Rod has the love for the game or even the respect for the game because of what he's done in his past? I mean, he received, one of the longest, actually the longest suspension in baseball history for performance-enhancing drug use when he was told to not play baseball for the entire 2014 season. So does he really have respect for baseball? He has respect for his bank account.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's going to get $21 million. And, you can't deny he had a great career, 696 home runs in his career, which is fourth all time. Great baseball player, but still.
Yeah,
it was time to hang up the cleats. We saw the regression of his career, of his batting prowess, and good for the Yankees to have him come in as a special advisor and mentor some of these young hitters, but keep him away from anything medical. You don't want him tampering anything with telling guys to take a shot here and there, some pills. Yeah, keep him away from that aspect.
Hey, yep. A-Rod, come here. What's the best way to ingest this PED?
Make sure that all of his interactions with these players are monitored and on the baseball diamond, not necessarily in the back room with the door closed. We don't want any of that happening.
Yeah, I mentioned the All-Star Cafe Planet Hollywood party yesterday. He was one of the people who were here for it, and he was like a deer in the headlights. He was he was just new to the league, and he was like...
That's pretty cool.
He came in, made an impact. He may have been Rookie of the Year or something, but he was very much a deer in the headlights among all the celebrities.
That's pretty cool. All right, Wally, let's start off today's show as we start off every show with today's day in birthdays and today's day in history. And I have a pretty good group of birthdays starting in 1963 on this day, February 22nd. Vijay Singh, the PGA professional golfer who has won three majors in his career, won the 2000 Masters and the PGA Championship in 1998 and 2004, and also led the PGA Tour in money earnings in 2003, 2004, and 2008, and probably would have had a more prolific career if it wasn't for one Tiger Woods. Talk about having the best part of your career go up against one of the best golfers we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So, happy birthday, Vijay Singh. Probably would have done a lot more without Tiger Woods being a part of the PGA Tour. Also born on this day, 1986, Rajon Rondo, the NBA point guard who has played for the Celtics, the Mavericks, and the Kings. Still, it's hard to say what his career will end up being. He's now being more known for what he did off the court with his gay slur than his ability to be one of the better passing point guards of our generation.
Definitely.
Also born on this day, 1991, February 22nd, Khalil Mack, one of the great NFL outside linebackers, defensive ends in the game right now, plays for the Oakland Raiders, and he was not this past season, but the season before, the AP Defensive Player of the Year. So happy birthday to Khalil Mack, Rajon Rondo, and Vijay Singh, and that leads me to my sports birthday profile, Wally. So tell us who our celebrity birthdays are.
Having birthdays today, Drew Barrymore is 42.
Never liked her.
Her breakout role, and her best role was her first role in E.T. She was a little cute little girl, and that was about it. From there, it was all downhill.
Yeah, Scream.
Charlie's Angels remake. Angels, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, thank you. 50 First Dates? No.
Exactly.
I'm good on that.
British singer who became popular over two songs. One was Goodbye, My Lover, and the other one was the song You're Beautiful. James Blunt is 43. He goes,
You're beautiful.
Happy birthday to James Blunt.
He's 43?
Yeah, 43. Jeez. Yeah, amazing, ain't it? A two-hit wonder, at least. At least he got more than that one song. That was his big hit. He had the follow-up, Goodbye, My Lover. So, You're beautiful, but goodbye, my lover. She's the odd-looking bird from Saturday Night Live who left the show to join Tina Fey on 30 Rock. But the producers who placed her with Jane Krakowski, who ended up only doing like 12 episodes as various characters, and what a dime that was. But Rachel Dracht, or Dratch, is her name. She is 51 today.
Okay.
51, wow. Mrs. Weasley in the Harry Potter movies, Julie Walters is 67. Remember the Beverly Hills Cop movie?
Yeah.
The sergeant, the balding sergeant?
Yeah.
Sergeant Taggart. The actor's name is John Ashton. He is 69 today.
Okay.
And I don't think I've seen him anything since.
I don't think so.
And lastly, he's the director of Philadelphia, Silence of the Lambs, Beloved, and the 74 classic Caged Heat. The director, Jonathan Demme, is 73 today.
Nice.
And who was our celebrity sports birthday profile?
All man? Right. Born on this day, February 22nd, 1950. Dr. J. Julius Erving, American retired basketball player who helped popularize the modern style of play that emphasized leaping and playing above the rim. He legitimized the ABA and was the best-known player in that league when it merged with the NBA after the 75-76 season. Won three championships, four MVP awards, three scoring titles with the ABA's Virginia Squires and the New York Nets, now the NBA's Brooklyn Nets, and the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers. He is the sixth highest scorer in ABA-NBA history with 30,026 points. That is the NBA and ABA combined. He is well known for slam dunking from the free throw line in a slam dunk contest and was the only player voted MVP in both the ABA and the NBA.
The original Air Jordan.
Of course. He was inducted in 1993 into the Basketball Hall of Fame, was also named the NBA's 50th anniversary all-time team. And in 94, he was named Sports Illustrated as one of the most 40 important athletes of all time. He was also inducted in the Nassau County Sports Hall of Fame in 2004. Now, many consider him one of the most talented players in NBA and ABA history. He is widely acknowledged as one of the game's best dunkers as well. I mean, there was, you know, players before him, Connie Hawkins, Jumping Johnny Green, Elgin Baylor, Jim Pollard, Gus Johnson, who performed spectacular dunks before, you know, Dr. J's time. But Dr. J really brought the practice of dunking into mainstream. His signature dunk was the slam dunk, in quotation marks, a real original there. But, you know, he also had a good skill set of the crossover dribble, the no-look pass. He was a pretty good offensive player in the NBA, not only for his dunks, but for his assist skills as well. But before Julius Erving, dunking was actually, you know, it was a practice most commonly used by big men to show their brutal strength, which was seen as a style over substance, even unsportsmanlike by many purists of the game. But Julius Erving utilized a dunk more as a high percentage shot made at the end of maneuvers, generally starting well away from the basket and not necessarily a show of force. But it was especially hard because you were trying to avoid a block shot, and you're going to have a better percentage of getting that basket if you're dunking instead of laying the ball up. But he demonstrated that there could be a great artistry and almost a ballet style to slamming the ball into the hoop, and particularly after he launched several feet from the target. As I mentioned, 1983 NBA champion, 1981 NBA MVP, 11-time NBA All-Star, 2-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 5-time All-NBA First Team member, 2-time All-NBA Second Team member. As I mentioned earlier, finished his career with 30,026 points, 10,525 rebounds, and 5,176 assists in his career. Dr. J, one of the great leapers of NBA history.
And officially Michael Jordan's favorite player as a kid, so his inspiration for being Air Jordan.
Yes, sir. All right, Wally, this day in history, I start off in 1959.
Let's see, I go way back 387 years ago to 1630. The Indians introduced the Pilgrims to corn, to popcorn. I'm not sure how they made it there without microwaves, but yeah, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
They didn't have Easy Pop?
But yeah, exactly. But they, I think it happened by accident, like a cob fell into the fire and, ooh, look at this.
Have you ever had Jiffy Pop?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never had that before.
When I was a kid, I did.
Okay.
Very buttery, very greasy, but good stuff. And much better than microwave popcorn. Because we know that microwaves change the dynamic,
the
genetic thing of the food when you microwave food. So don't do that. Stay away from the microwave if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Then I go to 1888.
You have the next one as well.
Scotsman John Reed first demonstrated the maddening, frustrating, and addicting game of golf.
Oh, yeah.
To Americans in Yonkers, New York. You SOB.
Thanks for that.
John Reed.
I go to 1990. All around
exactly,
the
world. Yeah.
I have 1959 as my first one. On this day, February 22nd, 1959, we had the first Daytona 500 in which Lee Petty won, driving 135 miles per hour in that initial Daytona 500. But this
Kyle's
was,
dad or something, maybe?
Kyle Petty?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the whole Petty family race. Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. Richard awesome. Petty, Lee Petty, Kyle
right,
Petty.
Right,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
they're all related. But this was the second race of the 1959 NASCAR Grand National season. It was held on this day in front of 41,000 spectators, and it was the first race held at Daytona International Speedway, which is 2.5 miles long. Very interesting race. Lee Petty battled with Beauchamp during the final 50 laps of this, or 30, sorry, final 30 laps of this race, and they were the only two drivers to actually finish on the lead lap. Petty took the lead with three laps to go and led at the start of the final lap. Petty and Beauchamp drove side by side across the finish line for a photo finish. Beauchamp was actually declared the unofficial winner by NASCAR officials, and Petty protested the results, saying that he beat him by a good 2 feet. Beauchamp replied, "I had him by 2 feet. I glanced over at Lee Petty's car as I crossed the finish line, and I could see the headlight slightly at the back of my car." But it ended up taking 3 days for NASCAR founder Bill France Sr. to decide the winner, and on the following Wednesday, they went with the photographs and newsreel footage declaring Petty as the official winner of the race. The controversial finish really helped the sport develop, and the delayed results to determine the official winner was front page of newspapers all across the country.
Wow.
So on this day, we had the first ever Daytona 500. I then go to 1962. What was your next year?
80.
All right. I think we might have the same one, by the
probably,
way.
Yeah, probably.
1962, Wilt Chamberlain set the NBA record for 34 free throws in a game, or Ooh. Attempts in a game. Now, this was actually a 50-year-old record and was broken just in 2000. I want to say it was 2010. And it was broken by Dwight Howard, who had 39 attempts in a single game where the Orlando Magic beat the Golden State Warriors 117-109 that night. Now, so I went ahead and looked up the most free throw attempts in a single season. Shaquille O'Neal in 2000 had 972 free throw attempts, of which he hit 51% of those. David Robinson was next with 925 free throw attempts in 93. He hit 75% of those. And Dwight Howard, in the same year that he had the 39 in one single game, had 916 in a single season, where he actually hit 60% of those. So pretty interesting there. I then go to 1980, and this is referring to the day in history where the USA beat the USSR in Olympic hockey 4-3, the Miracle on Ice.
That was a quick little snippet.
Okay.
Yeah, 23 seconds long on YouTube.
USA captain Mike Ruzioni scores the winning goal in the third period. It is the medal round game of the ice hockey tournament of the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York, played between the United States and the defending gold medalist, Soviet Union. The Soviet Union had won the gold medal in 6 of the 7 previous Winter Olympic Games and were the favorites to win once more in Lake Placid. You know, this was very interesting because the USSR team consisted primarily of professional players with significant experience in international play. The United States team, they consisted exclusively of amateur players and were the youngest team in the tournament and also in U.S. national team history. But both these teams were undefeated in group stage. The U.S. achieved several notable victories, including a 2-2 draw against Sweden, a 7-3 upset over the second-place favorites Czechoslovakia, and for the first game of the medal round, the United States were to face off with the Soviets, who were the favorites to win. First period, 2-2, and then we had Mike Ruzioni's goal to win the game 4-3. Following the game, the U.S. went on to clinch the gold medal by beating Finland in the final match of the tournament, and likewise, the Soviet Union took the silver medal by beating Sweden. The victory became well known as one of the most iconic moments of the games and in U.S. sports history. And it's equally famous for the final seconds call of Al Michaels on ABC, in which he famously declared, "Do you believe in miracles? Yes." And this was, one of the top moments of the 20th century, as rated by Sports Illustrated. A great moment in sports history, the Miracle on Ice on this day.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
I just got chills. It gives you chills. It does give you chills.
I remember watching that live on TV and couldn't believe it. Like, because we were like, we could never beat the Russians in anything,
oh, yeah.
It seemed back then.
Oh, yeah. incredible upset right there. One of the best upsets of all time in sports history. All right, do you have any others, Walter?
I go to 1989.
I have none left, so take it away.
It was the 31st Grammy Awards, and Tracy Chapman, you know who she is?
You got a fast car.
Exactly. She won Best New Artist. Now, here's the reason I put this on as a funny story. My mother was a soap opera queen, watched soap all the time. And I would get up, I was home from college that summer, and then that song, Fast Car, was out.
Yeah.
And she was all over MTV. It's like every other video was that song, Fast Car. Now, Tracy, at the time, had real short hair, and she had little tiny braids all over her head. They looked like, almost like a porcupine effect. Well, my mom, in all sincerity, I would change from the soap opera to MTV, and that video was playing. And I observed my mom, and my mom was watching it, and she was like enthralled by the video. So I let it play, and it played and played. And then when I switched the TV back to her soap opera, she looked at me and said, with all sincerity, I didn't know Buckwheat became a singer. And she was being completely serious. And I found the floor laughing. She's like, well, what's your problem, Wally? I'm like,
that's hilarious.
No, that's not Buckwheat. But she did look like what would be a grown-up Buckwheat
that
from the Little Rascals
hilarious.
Many years later. So that was my mommy B. Rest in heaven,
that
Mama.
That is hilarious.
I even told that story at her funeral, and people just, they fell out.
I didn't know
so
Buckwheat
sang. Yeah, just so true. Yeah. I didn't know Buckwheat was a singer.
Oh, Lord. That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
You have any others?
Nope.
All right. Great day in history. Let's tell the people what they're hearing on today's show. We already talked about baseball giving the okay to the intentional walk sign, and also A-Rod being done for good. Thank the Lord for that one. We're going to go through some baseball movies you could stream right now on either Netflix or HBO or whatever that get you jazzed up for the baseball season, and also go through the top four baseball movies of all time. We will also have our NASCAR Wednesday interview with the president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp. We will also preview Coastal Carolina versus College of Charleston. There we go. Baseball game today at 4. We have Coastal Carolina baseball tickets to give away to you. So write down this number, 843-652-3776. You might have a chance to go ahead and get tickets for today's game. Wally B's World of Sports kicks off the 8 o'clock hour. We will also talk about Jay Cutler and whether he will be playing for the Bears, or if he is not playing for the Bears, where will he play next season? We'll wrap up the show with Magic getting the keys to the kingdom of the L.A. Lakers, whether we like it or not like it. And final word, what to watch, and a preview of tomorrow's show, all coming up on The Drive. Going through your polls on Twitter for you at 100 through the team. What are your top four baseball movies of all time? I got a pretty good list, Wally. I'm not going to lie. Pretty good list. I cannot wait to hear other people's lists
as
well.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
What should the Bears do with quarterback Jay Cutler? Should they release him, trade him, or keep him? If Jay Cutler were to be released or let go or not play for the Bears next season, what NFL team should he play for? The Broncos, the Texans, the 49ers, or other? And if you vote for other, tell us who you are thinking of. And do you like or dislike the Lakers hiring of Magic Johnson as the president of basketball operations? You can vote for like, dislike, or you just don't care. All those polls can be found on Twitter at 100 through the team. Want to hear from you guys, 843-652-3776. Phone lines wide open for you outside of that interview segment with the president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp. That's coming up in this hour. So just to let you know, also, Coastal Carolina baseball tickets, be aware, during one of these commercial breaks, we will let you know when to call so you can have your chance to win Coastal Carolina baseball tickets. When we come back, baseball movies to get you jacked up for the baseball season on The Drive.
Guess what today is?
Hump Day. This is insane.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
This is my show.
This is brutal.
It's kind of lame.
This is just the next mobile version of Facebook.
I gotta rock and roll.
Why do you dislike rock and roll?
It's history.
We've had complaints from all over town.
Is this show getting weirder this year?
Yes!
And its message is timeless.
Showtime.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. 29 minutes and a half past the hour. Pat Payne and Wally B hanging out with you. And, okay, real baseball doesn't start till April 2nd, but spring training does begin today.
Hey!
Pitchers and catchers have already reported for some teams. The other players are reporting now, and spring training actually gets underway soon. Not soon enough for some people. So in the meantime, we do have some baseball movie recommendations to go ahead and satisfy some of the impatient people out there who are just waiting to hear the crack of the bat return to the baseball field. The great thing about movies now is because we have the ability to have, you know, Netflix, HBO, Hulu, Amazon, all of these great companies who have streaming availability, and there's a lot of great movies on them. So let's go through some of the movies that are right now able to stream for baseball to keep you with your fix until you actually get to see some actual baseball on the field. Major League is actually on Hulu and Amazon right now, and so I'm not going to give that much of a breakdown because that is one of the top four movies I have there. Great set of movies, but especially the first one, an incredible movie. 42, that's in one of my honorable mentions as well, The Life Story of Jackie Robinson. That is available on HBO right now. Mr. Baseball, this movie, Tom Selleck and his mustache just take over the movie. And so if you're even not trying to watch baseball, you can just watch Tom Selleck's mustache for 2 hours as he goes and plays baseball in Japan. Hilarious movie. Mr. Baseball's on HBO as well. Hardball, you know, it tugs at your heartstrings. Hardball is one of those movies that you don't see what's coming. If you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. It's about inner city baseball with a desperate gambler who's forced to coach this team to pay off his debt, and he ends up becoming really close to the children. Great movie with Keanu Reeves. I know that's hard to say, Keanu Reeves in a great movie in the same sentence, but Hardball is on HBO as well. The Benchwarmers, not one of my favorite movies, but if you're looking for a laugh, you know, Rob Schneider, David Spade, John Heder of Napoleon, or Hader of Napoleon Dynamite, they're all on this Little League team to take on elite Little League squads. Yeah, it's goofy. But that's on Netflix, The Benchwarmers. And Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac. Rest in peace, Bernie Mac. But it's a great movie when he actually finds out that a clerical error knocks him down from 3,000 hits to 2,997. So he's trying to make his way back to baseball. Great movie. But let's go through the top baseball movies of all time. Starting off with my honorable mentions, some might be upset about this one, but I have Bull Durham as an honorable mention. You know, 1988, American romantic comedy sports film, so I had everything that you wanted for, you know, the family and yourself.
Sporting News has that one ranked number one of all time.
I know that. That's probably why people are going to be upset that I'm ranking it in my honorable mention. but it's based off of minor league baseball experiences of writer and director Ron Shelton, and it depicts players and fans of the Durham Bulls, a minor league baseball team in Durham, North Carolina. We know Kevin Costner is in it. You also have Tim Robbins. A young Tim Robbins is in it as well. Susan Sarandon. It's so many great, great characters and actors in this movie. But Bull Durham's going to be one of my honorable mention. And I really fought. And people are probably going to be upset with me about this one as well. I'm putting The Natural in my honorable mention as well. This is one of the older movies I have on my list, 1984, with Robert Redford, Glenn Close, Robert Duvall. This film, kind of like the book, recounts the experiences of Roy Hobbs, an individual with a great natural baseball talent that really it goes through the success and the suffering of this player, and it ended up being nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actress for Glenn Close. So, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong, but it's not in my top four. Number four, I'm going to say it's 42, and I mentioned that earlier. 42 is the biographical sports film done in 2013 about the racial integration of the Major League Baseball player Jackie Robinson, who wore the famous jersey number 42 throughout his entire Major League Baseball career. Great actors in this movie, and it really gives you a at least in my opinion, a view into what it was like back then and what he really had to go through just to survive and make it to the games, but not only that, stay on the team. He was a great player, but what he had to go through off the field definitely makes this movie in my top four. Number three is The Sandlot. The coming-of-age baseball comedy film, it tells the story of a group of young baseball players during the summer of 1962 with great character and actors, Dennis Leary, James Earl Jones, and it became a cult film, and it's actually grossed $33 million worldwide, which is pretty incredible right there. But The Sandlot, I mean, how many times have you quoted The Sandlot in your general conversation, the great Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT? I mean, there's just so many things that you can say about this movie that why it's in my top four. Number two is Major Leagues, the first one. 1989, American sports comedy film. It stars Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen, Wesley Snipes, Bob Uecker, Corbin Burnson. It was a great movie, and it deals with the exploits of a fictional version of the Cleveland Indians, and it also spawned a couple different sequels as well, but none of them nearly replicated the success of the original film. That's another movie where you can have a conversation with a stranger on the street and say something from Major Leagues, and they'll know exactly what you're talking about. But number one for me has got to be Field of Dreams. 1989, fantasy drama sports film with, it was really a story about Shoeless Joe Jackson, with Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, Burt Lancaster, and it was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, the Best Original Score, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Picture. And, you know, who doesn't know those famous couple words from that movie, "If you build it, he will come," or "they will come"? I mean, great movie. Field of Dreams has got to be number one in my books. Wally, what is your top 4 baseball movies of all time?
Number one would be Major League, obviously, because until the Indians actually made it to World Series, that was all we could really vicariously enjoy. Of course, we've choked now 3 times in the last how many years it's been.
Yeah.
Then Bad News Bears. I just love that movie growing up. Bad News Bears just had me laughing. Liked Bull Durham. Like the Jackie Robinson stories at 42, or what was it called, 44 or 42? 42, and probably 51.
61, yeah. 61, yes, that's another great movie as well. I love that movie as well. I got a couple of responses on Twitter. Lee in D.C., that's his Twitter handle, says, "Major Leagues 1-4, close down the poll, it's over. No need for any other responses in that one." Thought that was pretty funny to say that one out loud. And then Kevin writes in, Major League 2, Rookie of the Year, Little Big League, Angels in the Outfield. He continues to go on. I got to limit it. Come on, man. Neville writes in, Major League, The Sandlot, Field of Dreams, 42. He also gives some honorable mentions of Angels in the Outfield. Moneyball is a great one as well. Didn't even think about that one. Basketball, no, that doesn't count. Sorry, basketball does not count. Tyler writes in, Major League, Rookie of the Year, The Sandlot, Field of Dreams. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of repeats, but the reason is because there's so many great baseball movies, just in general.
It's hard.
It's very hard. I really don't. You can make an argument for any movie that people have said so far, outside of maybe like the funny ones that are thrown in there, like Little Big League or anything like that. Yeah, English Glover writes in, The Sandlot. Yeah, it's a great movie. My girlfriend writes in, Sandlot, Field of Dreams. She puts Moneyball in there. League of Their Own, nobody's mentioned that one. That's another great movie. League of Their Own is a great movie. I should have thrown that one in as one of honorable mentions as well. Continue to go on Twitter at 100 through the team. Let us know your top 4 baseball movies of all time. We'll continue to read those throughout the show. Got to let you know, a presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is Life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user accustomed to lightning-fast downloads or someone who just needs to check your email, HTC High-Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. HTC High-Speed Internet has installation and 24/7 tech support, all for free with no hidden equipment fees. For more details, you can call HTC High-Speed Internet at 843-369-8982. HTC, this is Life. Connect with it. When we come back, we will have our NASCAR Wednesday conversation with the president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp. But right now, let's go ahead and give away 2 tickets to the Chanticleers versus College of Charleston at 4 p.m. today. You are caller number 2 to 843-652-3776. You will get 2 tickets to Coastal Carolina versus Charleston, 4 p.m. On the campus of Coastal Carolina. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
It's Wednesday, and that means we're talking about NASCAR.
Welcome back to The Drive, 42 minutes past the hour, and it is Wednesday, so we have our NASCAR Wednesday interview with the president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp. And you can go ahead and get your Bojangles Southern 500 tickets right now at darlingtonraceway.com. Definitely go out there and see the race at the track, Too Tough to Tame. Kerry, it is the Daytona 500. It is the week of the Daytona 500. So tell some of the listeners out there why the Daytona 500 is so special and what really separates it from other events in sports and even in the NASCAR season.
Well, there's no secret. It's called the Great American Race, and certainly it is one of the most storied sporting events in our country. It's kind of bred into our sports culture. When you think of NASCAR, you think of the Daytona 500. You know, when you think of IndyCar, you think of the Indianapolis 500. And so, you know, it's our Super Bowl for our particular sport and for stock car racing. It leads the season off, and really there's no other sport in which its biggest event of the season leads the season off. And so there's been so much anticipation going into it on the off season. The teams have been working very, very hard since they left Homestead, Miami, the third week of November to prepare for this moment. And you win the Daytona 500, you etch yourself, your name in, forever in the folklore of NASCAR racing. And so, it's a huge event. It attracts, not only visitors from all over the country, but fans from all over the world. It's conducted at the most spectacular motorsports facility in the world. The new stadium here at Daytona is one of a kind. And, you know, all the eyes and ears of the sports world will be on Daytona come Sunday when Fox tunes it up for the race. And, you know, it's a big sporting event. Like I said, it's our Super Bowl.
It is absolutely huge. I've been fortunate enough to go to three, and I can tell you just the air in the actual stadium is palpable. It is crazy how much excitement there is around the fans and even the drivers for the Daytona 500. Let's take it back to last year's 500. It was one for the record books where Denny Hamlin edged out Martin Truex Jr. for the win. You know, there has not been a back-to-back winner of the Daytona 500 since Sterling Marlin did it in 1994, 1995. How hard is it to go ahead and be a back-to-back winner, and what kind of odds do you give Denny Hamlin on being able to be the first back-to-back winner since 94-95?
Well, it is very difficult just because of the type of race it is. You know, it's restrictor plate racing, and it's, you know, you can almost throw anything out the window. We saw a few years ago a driver by the name of Trevor Bayne, a relative unknown, came through the field there the last lap to win the race. You know, and so I think it's very difficult to win back-to-back races here at Daytona. It's difficult to win back-to-back races in NASCAR as it is. But, you know, Denny Hamlin is certainly, I'd have to be one of the favorites if I was handicapping the field. He's at one of the best teams, Joe Gibbs Racing. He was strong the other day in the Clash until the last lap incident there took him out of contention. So I'd say, you know, let's put it this way. He's the only guy that can win back-to-back right now because of winning last year. But all kidding aside, I think he's got an excellent chance to do it. Now, certainly he's going to face stiff competition from, I would say, at least a dozen other drivers, maybe even more than that, in my mind, have the opportunity to win here, or at least on paper would have the opportunity to win here. And so I'd say the odds of him doing that are pretty tough, but certainly it could be accomplished.
Just like you said, Kerry, you know, the not only the strategy during the race and the technicalities of the Daytona 500, but the fact that when you win, you're etched into NASCAR lore, and so that makes everybody want to win that race. But let's take it back to last weekend's Clash. Pretty exciting race, racing last weekend with Chase Elliott winning the pole for the 500 for the second straight year. And we talked about rookies or up-and-comers in NASCAR last week when you were on the show. But really, what makes Chase Elliott a driver that could lead the charge for the young guns of NASCAR in 2017?
Well, first and foremost, he's an excellent race car driver, and he's come up through the ranks. Certainly, he's got great genes with his dad, a former NASCAR champion and now in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He's been around racing his entire life, and so it's in his DNA. He's with, you know, unquestionably the strongest race team out there, Hendrick Motorsports. You know, he's in great equipment. He took over the number 24 Chevrolet from a NASCAR icon, Jeff Gordon. So, you know, he's got great equipment. I think he's got an excellent crew chief in Alan Gustafson. I think he's one of the more underrated crew chiefs out there. He's won and he's done it very, very efficiently. But I think most of all, Chase Elliott has that, he's got that flair about him. He's got that desire about him, to be a champion and be a championship driver. He's got a little swagger about him for a young person. and I think that you gotta have that. So, you know, certainly winning back-to-back poles at Daytona is no small feat. And I think he's one of those guys I was talking a minute ago, 12 or 15 drivers that could win on Sunday, and I'd put him in that list.
Talking with president of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp, right now. And, you know, I'm going to give you three names of drivers who really just have not lived up to the sport's high expectations of them recently. And you tell me which driver has the best chance to turn it around this season and why you believe they will. So the three names are Casey Kane, Trevor Bayne, and Clint Bowyer. Which one, you know, really has the ability to turn around their career this season?
Well, I think all three pose interesting stories, and all three certainly need to win. But the one that I would look at would probably be Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer, in my mind, is a race car driver that has now kind of found newfound life over there at Stewart Haas Racing, mm-hmm. Driving for Tony Stewart's team. You know, he steps into the number 14 Ford, vacated by Tony's retirement, so you know he's going to be in great equipment. I think he's hungry to win. It's been about 3 years since he's, maybe even longer than that, since he's been to victory lane. So I think that Clint Bowyer is one of the big storylines for our sport this year. You know, just a few years ago, he was a chase contender or a playoff contender, and he was contending for championships. And, you know, then things happened over there at Michael Walter Racing, you know, it just things didn't pan out. And so he went to some other teams and probably didn't have the opportunity and the equipment that he was needing to be in to try to compete on a weekly basis, but now he does. So I think Clint Bowyer, of those three, would be the driver that I would see making a big turnaround this year.
I like it. I like it a lot. Read on your website, darlingtonraceway.com, that the track will be having the third annual Bojangles Legends Breakfast. Tell me about this event and also the NASCAR Legends that will be attending that people will have the chance to go ahead and meet.
Well, it certainly is one of the highlights of our weekend, and, you know, it gives fans the opportunity to be up close and personal with some of the greats of the sport, whether it be Rusty Wallace, Darrell Waltrip, Junior Johnson, Cale Yarborough, you know, Mark Martin, Leonard Wood, I could go on and on, Bobby Allison. Those were some of the ones that were there last year, and we expect for them to be back again this year, Ned Jarrett. But it's an opportunity for the fans, to attend an event. It's early on Sunday morning. I think it'll start around 9 o'clock, on Sunday morning of race day, September 3rd. And what we've done is that the fans now that buy tickets, for our season kickoff promotion, which actually starts today, get special access to this race day event. And so, you know, I encourage the fans that are listening, the fans of our race, to get on the website, call our number right now, to get these tickets. Because if you buy your ticket now to the Bojangles Southern 500, you're going to get a Legends Breakfast, a ticket. And that's why supply lasts. And so, you know, we're encouraging fans to do that. Our website is darlingtonraceway.com, and then the phone number is 866-459-7223, for fans to do that. But it's a great event. We have upwards of 700-800 people there. Bojangles fixes up a very delicious breakfast. And then you get to hear from the legends for, well over an hour. So it's a great, great way to start the, Sunday race day, for our Bojangles Southern 500.
Just a little extra incentive for the folks out there to go get their tickets right now for the Bojangles Southern 500. President of Darlington Raceway, Kerry Tharp, final question for you. Give me your favorite for the Daytona 500 and maybe a dark horse that we wouldn't really think about in winning this weekend's race.
Okay, that's a put me on the spot there a little bit, but that's okay. You know, I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. I think Brad Keselowski is going to win the Daytona 500 on Sunday. Why? I don't know. I just think he's going to be good. I think he's going to come up to the field and win the race. My heart tells me Dale Earnhardt Jr., but I for some reason I think Keselowski is going to pull it off. And then a dark horse, I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott is and maybe not a dark horse because he's on the pole, but it'd be a first-time win for him.
Yeah.
And certainly would be a big splash for him to be able to get to victory lane. So I like Keselowski, Although Junior is, you know, the more I start to think about it, what a story that would be, Dale Earnhardt Jr. But then I like Chase Elliott as well.
It would
those
be an
three,
incredible
one of those three.
I like it.
Keselowski Jr. or Chase Elliott.
It would be a great story for Junior to go ahead and win this Daytona 500 after missing a lot of last season. But Kerry Tharp, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the race this weekend. And, folks, go out to DarlingtonRaceway.com or that phone number Kerry gave us a little bit earlier. Get your tickets right now for the Bojangles Southern 500. Kerry, really appreciate the time.
Great being on. Y'all have a great week.
You too. Oh, great interview with Kerry Tharp, the president of Darlington Raceway. So many different takeaways from that. But his choices of Brad Keselowski, Dale Jr., Chase Elliott, got to like those choices. I agree with him. Two of those guys starting out in the front row to start off the Daytona 500. Brad Keselowski, a great racer in his own right as well. When we come back, we're talking about Coastal Carolina and College of Charleston, that baseball game happening today at 4 p.m. That's coming up on The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Just about 2 minutes left in this first hour on The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Pat Payone and Wally be hanging out with you. And let's go to the phone lines real quick while we have a little bit of time. Dennis, you want to talk about something we were talking about yesterday, the Miami Dolphins. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've been a longtime Dolphin fan, about 30, 40 years. Really happy with the pickup of Julius Thomas. He was a monster for Peyton Manning in Denver for, in 2013 and 14. He had over 30 touchdowns. Catches most in the red zone, and it's exactly what Tannenbaum needs. And you know, he's a big target, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him
definitely
in the upcoming season. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Darrelle Revis. Now, I just read that the Jets could wriggle out of $15 million if they cut Darrelle Revis.
Yeah,
by March 15th for conduct unbecoming. Now, as you know, Darrelle got involved in an altercation. He knocked out two guys.
Yep.
He surrendered to police. You got to think that the Jets are going to save the $15 million and use it wisely in the upcoming draft and free agent by cutting him. And,
yes, sir.
As a Dolphin fan, yeah, my Dolphin fan, my prediction would be that Tannenbaum, who drafted Revis years ago, is with the Dolphins, of course, and
we got 10 seconds.
I could see Tannenbaum scooping him up. What do you guys think?
Appreciate the call. I'll give you my opinion right after this short little break right here.
Your sports leader from Little River to Loras, Conway to Carolina Forest. We are WSCA Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach, Cumulus Broadcasting Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Hour two of The Drive is brought to you by Air Mechanical. Get a new high-efficient Amana system today. Air Mechanical, we're in your neighborhood.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. With your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team, coming to you from Earlsland, South Carolina. And whether you're listening on the radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live through our website, teammyrtlebeach.com, or listening through the free app, the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team app, we welcome you to today's show. In the first hour, if you missed it, we talked about baseball giving the okay for the intentional walk sign. Instead of having to pitch four balls, you know, they just go ahead and give a sign and the guy takes their base. Also, Alex Rodriguez said he is done for good. We also went through some of the best baseball movies getting you jacked up for the season to start in just over a month. We had our NASCAR Wednesday interview with Kerry Tharp as we previewed the Daytona 500. Should be an exciting weekend for NASCAR. Didn't get a chance to talk about Coastal Carolina versus College Charleston. I'll do that in my final word. I'll move it back to the end of the show. But, you know, going back to Dennis's call and his question, Darrelle Revis and you know, is that a good spot for the Miami Dolphins to go ahead and move? Another big reason, you know, outside of the issue with, you know, what he did in Pittsburgh, knocking out those two guys, and there's multiple reports whether it was self-defense or actual, you know, assault. But the other big issue is that he's just not playing good anymore. He's not a great defensive back that you need to be paying $15 million to. So the Jets are going to release Darrelle Revis. Now, other spots outside of Miami that he could potentially go to that could, you know, improve their defense dramatically as soon as he signs. I mean, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers could be a pretty good spot for him to go,
yeah.
and not even have a lot of, a lot of pressure on him because they have two good young DBs there already. But he could step in and be a third DB, play situational downs. I also think Oakland is another spot that has been linked to Darrelle Revis. That could be another spot he could go to. And you can't leave out, you know, the Patriots or a team that, you know, might swoop in and say, hey, you want a chance to win another championship? Why not come here if we have the best chance to win the next Super Bowl? And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Darrelle Revis with the off the field issues. But on the field, he's not the same player. He's just not the same player. So I don't expect him to get the money that he'll probably likely be looking for. But he's going to have to make a big choice in terms of who he's going to be signing. Going to the back to Twitter real quick. Chad writes in terms of top four baseball movies: The Sandlot, For the Love of the Game, Major League, and lesser known but great movie, Summer Catch. All those are great movies. You are correct. Sam writes in Sandlot, Bull Durham, Major League, and Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch. It never ceases to amaze me some of the Air Bud mentions we get almost each and every movie poll.
Put the buds down.
Yeah, get out of there. All right, it is the first segment of the 8 o'clock hour, so you know what time that is.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
Oh, yes, it's going to be a rough segment because my audio is not working like it usually does. We're having some internet issues this morning, so with that being said, just hang in there and see if I can get this through. But, of course, big story in NBA basketball, Magic Johnson starts his stint as the president of basketball operations for the L.A. Lakers.
Yes, sir.
And TMZ caught up with his wife, Cookie, and she's all about it.
What do you think about Irvin taking over the Lakers?
Well, you know what? I love it. I think it's a natural fit. I mean, he's a Laker through and through. He always has bled Laker purple and gold, and I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. I think he's going to turn it around.
What do you think he needs to do?
Listen, I don't understand the business, so I will say good.
Would you think Kobe should come back too? They should team up together to make the Lakers
great? If it's a good fit, I think so.
Yeah, bring him back. How much impact would Kobe have, do you think?
Bring all the Lakers back. Bring them back.
except Vlad.
Yeah, no Vlad Divac. No, he'll make a terrible trade. No, bring them all back. Why not? And just start, Robert Horry, we'll make you the director of concession stands. just bring them all back. Why not just bring the whole cast and crew back together?
It's really funny. It makes me laugh how GMs of these teams think, if you were on a championship team back in the day, like your Divac, your other players, you'll be a great coach because you were on some championship teams. But that doesn't always play out that way.
We're going to have that conversation a little bit later. But I do believe, because of all of the actual... all the actual business ventures he's taken on, especially some of the ownerships he's had in major sports. Yeah, I think he's going to be set up for success with the Lakers. Now, whether they actually are successful is another question.
Yeah, success breeds success. So there are some players who believe that he's going to turn things around. Byron Scott is one of them. He's expecting big things, and he says that within 5 years he'll turn around, and within 5 years the Lakers will be back on top of the league. Of course, Scott not only coached the Lakers from 2014 to 2016, but he also won multiple championships with Magic during his first 10 years playing for the Lakers. And Byron and Magic are still close. In fact, Magic wrote the foreword for Byron's book, Slam Dunk Success, which is why people are saying, hey, you may see Byron join Magic Johnson in some capacity, whether it be a consultant. Will he come back to coach again? You got to wonder. Do you wonder what's going to happen?
Probably not.
And then another former Laker, Rick Fox, is very fired up about having Magic Johnson in the next Magic Johnson era for the Lakers. He says the only thing that would be cooler is if Kobe comes on board as well. I think Magic may end up getting Kobe in some capacity to do something. Because, of course, we know Kobe is purple and gold. If you cut him, he would bleed purple and gold for sure. Fox was on his own network show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And he was talking about it, saying he sees Magic as a perfect fit, exactly what the Lakers need. He has the basketball acumen, the knowledge, the judgment of players, knows how to scout, and he should definitely turn things around for the Lakers. Wonder if it's going to happen. NFL news. Ezekiel Elliott was in the middle of a police incident at an Ohio bar over the weekend.
Of course he was, no.
Why? Well, his, quote, best friend, unquote, was getting arrested for bringing a loaded gun to the nightclub they were going into. Hello? TMZ Sports posted a video of Ezekiel speaking with cops in front of the Park Street patio bar on Friday night. And while he was not detained, arrested, or accused of anything wrong, it's clear he was very interested in the investigation. And now we know the person who got arrested was his, quote, best friend, Alvarez Jackson, who's been described as Zeke's best friend in the 2015 Sports Illustrated article. He's also a regular on Ezekiel's Instagram feeds. And according to the police report, Jackson was being patted down by security on his way into the bar when they found a loaded Glock 9mm handgun inside of a purse-like bag around his neck. Security took the gun, but Alvarez bolted and ran into the bar like he's going to go hide in the
bar. That's intelligent.
Hello. Officials say he was tracked down and arrested. Law enforcement sources tell us Alvarez tried to name-drop Ezekiel during the incident, claiming he's the NFL star's, quote, brother, unquote.
Jeez. I mean, that's absurd right there. But like, wait, what are you going to do when you run into a bar? Are you going to go grab a drink and just wait for them to come in for you?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't mention my name. You're my friend.
Yeah.
The minute you do something stupid, we're not friends anymore.
No, you're supposed to be the fall guy.
Yeah, that's
what it sounded like. He's the fall guy, and he didn't take the fall.
And TMZ spoke to Ezekiel's rep, who said the Cowboys running back did provide information to police, but he was never, ever any part of the whole incident except for having the lack of judgment to be with this guy while he's hanging around. I mean, of course, he's probably got a gun to protect Ezekiel in case something happens, but, you know, I mean, come on. Stay home, don't go out, and you won't get into trouble. But Alvarez Jackson has been charged with felony illegal gun possession in a liquor establishment and faced up to 5 years in prison. He will be facing the judge today. Interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
Speaking of facing the judge, Pittsburgh Steelers linebackers coach Joey Porter just pled guilty to disorderly conduct stemming from the January altercation with security at a Pittsburgh bar. Porter was initially charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication on January 8th. The cops say he got physical with a bouncer and he was denied entry into the bar. Prosecutors had previously announced they would reduce charges based on video evidence, but clearly believe Porter wasn't exactly a nice guy that night. As for his sentence, Porter must now pay a $450 fine, and that's it. Did he get off easy?
Unreal. He got off easy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's the nature of athletes or celebrities and getting in trouble.
Oh, just get someone underneath my skin. They get away with murder. Right, OJ? Ronda Rousey is back to acting.
Oh,
the UFC legend, as some call her, scored herself a guest role on the hit NBC show Blind Spot. That's kind of ironic.
That is very ironic. Blind Spot, noting that
she got for that kick.
Yeah, she got knocked out the last two fights she was in.
But she's going to play a tough prison inmate who's serving time for transporting weapons across state lines. A rep for the show said that the episode's going to air in early May, and we're told her episode has not been shot yet, but will be done in the near future. So, you know, this didn't clash with her training for the Amanda Nunes fight. Let's say that. It's nothing to do with that.
Well, but she didn't train for that fight, so.
Yeah, exactly. If she trained. Ronda has not made an official decision yet on whether she'll fight again. We're still waiting for that, but most people think, and as we do, that she's done. After getting her behind pounded last
twice.
But yeah, this is a big deal for Ronda, because if she does a good job on this Blind Spot TV show, it could lead to bigger and better things outside the octagon. In its face at this point, she's got to try and carve out an acting career, because her fighting career is pretty much done. We're still waiting to see the movie she shot, the remake of Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse where
yeah.
she plays the role he did, and I just don't see how that's going
to
work.
No, cannot wait to bash that one, because that's going to be a terrible movie.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, as a lot of remakes are, why do they remake them? It's like, come on, they should call them refakes, because they're trying to fake it.
Even remaking that movie is a terrible idea, but remaking with Ronda Rousey is tremendously worse.
Yes, indeed. You know, it was great when she was on top, and now, since she's fallen from grace, they're like, maybe they won't even release the movie now.
I hope not.
I know it was shot, but no one's really talking about it when it's going to come out. But I know it's out there somewhere on some executive or producer's desk or something, or in the vault, saying, should we or shouldn't we? Only if she wins a fight again will we release it. But moving on, if you had the chance to see into the future, Pat, would you take it? Would you like to see how your life pans out and how you succumb from this life into the next, or the not next, or
you're saying would I like to see the future?
Yeah, why not?
Would
you like to know how you're going to die?
No.
According to a new survey, only 1% of people say they would want the ability to look into the future and see everything that happened to them, including when and how they die. A little less than half of people say they'd be willing to look into the future if they could only see the positive things that would happen.
Exactly.
Hello, of course. But the majority of people don't want any spoilers. The researchers found people didn't even want to know fairly trivial things in advance, like if their favorite team will win a game or what they're getting for Christmas. There's only one thing that the majority of people say they do want to know in advance, and that is the sex of their unborn children.
I don't even know how to go with that, Wally. I mean, of course I'd want to see what my future holds, but no, I would not want to see, you know, because then you'd be forever, you know, once you see how you perish, you'd be forever worried about that actually happening until it actually does happen. You know, say you fall off or a car accident or something like that.
Yeah.
You'd be in the car every time wondering if this is the time where it happens. Well, that's no way to live.
You'd be living in fear, and nobody wants to live in fear. So I give you some advice to not worry about how you end up and what your demise will be. Just live on faith.
You'll be all right,
like me and many others. And I try anyway, you know. Just got to try. Guess what today is, Pat?
Don't know.
It's National Margarita Day!
Of course it is.
So it's the perfect time for this short little list of top margarita fun facts. All you need to make one is tequila, lemon juice, and a place to pass out. Because you can never have just one margarita, you know. Also, drinking a margarita from a giant glass helps you look thinner.
Does it?
It's a good thing about Margarita Wednesday. And margaritas are the number one cause of blowing out a flip-flop and stepping on a pop-top.
Is that the pun there of that's it's in the eye of the
it's from
tequila the, holder?
That too, exactly. But, you know, blowing out a flip-flop and stepping on a pop-top, that's from Jimmy Buffett's Margarita.
Of course it is.
And that's one of the things I could not get because this computer doesn't want to work right today. Pardon me.
Yeah.
I had a little anger management there problem.
Wally, the computer was not agreeing with you today at all.
And I don't normally cuss. And Pat, here's me in here cussing. He knows that I'm frustrated with the equipment.
Going on.
No matter what anyone tells you, Mexican restaurants love it when you pound a pitcher of margaritas, then rip a sombrero off the wall and start belting out La Bamba.
Yeah.
I was going to play that too, but of course that ruined that bit too. But
anyway. Okay, have you ever done that?
Yes.
You have?
Okay. I haven't ripped off the wall, but I've had my own sombrero.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But anyway.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
And I was going to say, I've never done that.
Go to some pop culture news. Poor David Cassidy of the Partridge Family revealed that he is suffering from dementia. And he said he realized it when he himself began to confuse himself with Donny Osmond. Which happened his entire life. He always got those two confused. You know? Are you Donnie? Are you David? Okay. And did you hear about Angelina Jolie? She was on the news yesterday. Her kids ate bugs on their trip to Cambodia. They were eating spiders. They were eating crickets.
Some delicacies.
And I want to send her some palmetto bugs. You can tell me how they taste. You know, but she could have saved a lot of time and money just by taking her kids to any Denny's in L.A. You know?
You don't have to go all the way to Africa for bugs.
Exactly. Crazy.
Yeah, we go to a ton of restaurants.
And it's official. The movie about Prince is in the works and will be released.
Awesome.
It'll be a very short film.
It will be.
Just like Prince. But it'll be great. It should be good. I wonder if they're going to have Bruno play him after what he did.
That would be pretty cool.
Grammys.
It'd be hard to say who could play. I mean, there's probably some actor out there that looks pretty close to Prince, but you would have probably Bruno Mars doing the actual singing behind him.
Yeah. And Tom Brady's stolen Super Bowl jersey has been officially valued at $500,000. Stamp it, official, etc.
Just that?
While a longing glance into his dreamy blue eyes still remains priceless.
It does.
And former WNBA player Candace Wiggins claims that the league is 98% gay. Which means with a couple more percentage points, they'll finally catch up to the LPGA. I didn't write that joke. It came from my comedy service. I can't take credit for that.
Don't bash us on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, we did this before, but I got to play it again because I'm sad to say that Closer by the Chainsmokers and Halsey has set a Hot 100 pop chart record. It's the first song to spend 26 weeks, half a year, in the top five.
Never again.
The previous record of 25 was held by the Mark Ronson Bruno Mars jam, Uptown Funk. Leanna Rimes also a tie for that record with How Do I Live. Chubby Checkers, The Twist, is next with 23 weeks in the top five.
Wow, what a prestigious group there.
Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas was tied for fifth place. And Tony Braxton's Unbreak My Heart at 21 weeks. So warning, Closer by the Chainsmokers is still around. And if we don't have to hear it one more time, oh my goodness, no.
I blame you for this.
For those that want to hear it again.
Hey, I was doing just fine first time I heard you. Even downloaded you on iTunes back in May.
This one's better.
Hey, I would sing you out loud, but that was back then. Now I hope I never hear you again.
Yep.
Every time I start my car, turn on the radio and there you are. In the Sears and in the mall, at the supermarket, the dentist and bar. And it won't stop. No, it won't stop.
Go away!
I hate this song called Closer. It's been played over and over. It's been drilled into my gourd like a dentist in my molar. Lock the garage, start the motor, let the exhaust take its toll. In my trunk are the chain smokers. If one more time I hear Closer.
I promise the last time you hear the parody as well, my radio family, friends, and team members. And that wraps up this edition. This frustrated edition for me of Wally P's World of Sports. Remember, man, life is a sport. Play it like a winner. Appreciate every moment of every day because now is the gift. That's why it's called the present. And count your blessings. Forget your stressings, man. You'll be all right.
You will overcome this frustration, Wally.
That's right.
I promise.
And don't worry about how you're going to pass on or pass away, depending on what you believe in.
Don't.
Just keep living it.
Wally, you know what we should do? Let's go ahead and give away another pair to Coastal Carolina versus Charles of Charleston. Calls of Charleston. Get it out of your mouth. Tickets, two of those right now. 4 p.m. game today. Coastal Carolina taking on Calls of Charleston. We'll give a little bit of a preview in the final word. But you want to get tickets to that one? Be caller number two to 843-652-3776. Again, 843-652-3776. Caller number two has two tickets to Coastal Carolina versus the Calls of Charleston today. First pitch, 4 p.m.
To The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Tune to that radio frequency I like.
I have an old 5-megawatt broadcasting tower in the attic.
We'll do the entire broadcast.
People will listen to it.
Why does everyone keep listening to that show?
What you listening to?
Just listen and we'll keep broadcasting.
There's one sound you absolutely dread waking up to.
The show doesn't get going soon. We're going to have to scrap the whole thing.
Guess what today is?
Hump day.
Of all the sports shows in America, we're one of them. Pat Payone and Wally B. Weekday morning, 7 to 9 on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive. 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Pat Payone and Wally B. hanging out with you in hour two of The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Going back to the poll real quick of the top four baseball movies of all time. Mark writes in, Bull Durham. Field of Dreams, Eight Men Out, Major League. I don't know Eight Men Out. I'll have to look that up during the next commercial break. Alan also writes in For the Love of the Game, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, and Major League. Let's see. Okay. My dad writes in 42. He says 61, Major Leagues, and League of Their Own. Pretty good foursome right there as well. But I digress.
He picked three of my four, so way to go, Pop Hale.
Yeah, way to go.
Good taste.
Terrible taste. in perhaps some of the least surprising news you'll hear of this NFL offseason, the Bears are looking to move on from quarterback Jay Cutler. This was reported by ESPN's Jeff Darlington. It reports that the team has actively started seeking a trade partner for the 2016 first-round pick who began his career in Denver before getting traded to the Chicago Bears before the 2009 season. Cutler, who signed a 7-year, $126.7 million deal in 2014, still has 4 years left on this contract, but a divorce between this quarterback and club has been a long time coming, and there's no way to see, no way he sees that amount of money from the Chicago Bears. However, it doesn't mean that he will be traded. He may be released as well, which may be the actual way because of that contract that the Bears end up having to go. But he played in just 5 games last season because of injury, and he ranked in 2015. He ranked 9th in value per play among quarterbacks according to Football Outsiders, which is better than Matt Stafford and league MVP Cam Newton. But that was an anomaly for Jay Cutler, who regularly put up replacement level numbers during his Chicago stint of his career. But also, we've heard all of the reports come out of Chicago with the locker room, and players have given up on Jay Cutler. Players dislike Jay Cutler. However his teammates feel about him, Cutler will almost certainly be somewhere else in the coming months. And so let's talk about that. I mean, there's some teams out there like the New York Jets who have already come out and said that they have zero interest in Jay Cutler. But for the sake of argument, we'll take their word for it. We won't put them in there. But what other teams really will give Jay Cutler a chance? I think there's a couple teams that might sign Jay Cutler. Starting off, the Miami Dolphins. I think the Miami Dolphins are an interesting prospect of this because, they're probably set with Ryan Tannehill, and it would almost take, a lot of guts for Adam Gase, the coach, to go ahead and upset, the momentum they had after last season. But this could be something he could consider doing, bringing in Jay Cutler. I mean, he did some great things with the Dolphins in year one. Tannehill isn't that type of quarterback that Gase would really want to have and trust in his future. Tannehill relies too much on his natural gifts and athleticism, while Gase usually likes a more cerebral quarterback. Not to call Jay Cutler a cerebral quarterback, but that's usually what Adam Gase would like to have as his quarterback. So would they be considering shipping Ryan Tannehill out of Miami and drafting their quarterback of the future and using Jay Cutler as a short-term fix for season or even 2 seasons? I mean, they had an incredible working relationship, Gase and Cutler, in Chicago, and he was definitely the most efficient under Adam Gase when he was the offensive coordinator. But then again, this is a long shot, and putting Gase and Cutler back together in Miami could be a short-term plan for Miami if they decide Tannehill is really not their guy of the future. It's just a stopgap, I guess you can say, is what they would be looking at if they did go ahead and have if they did go ahead and add Jay Cutler. I'm getting a couple tweets for the top 4 favorite movies, baseball movies. I'll get to those after just a little bit. I think the Broncos are an interesting case as well. Could it be another homecoming in the Mile High City for Jay Cutler? I mean, John Elway doesn't seem to be comfortable with the quarterback situation they have right now, and he may want to bring in a veteran quarterback that for his team that is largely in a win-now mentality. Cutler wouldn't be his first choice. That would probably be Tony Romo. But if Romo doesn't go to Denver, the Denver Broncos still might want to bring in a veteran quarterback, and Jay Cutler may be that answer. Mike McCoy, the Broncos' new offensive coordinator, and John Fox had a very good working relationship, and Fox could be the facilitator bringing in McCoy and Cutler together. And if Elway decides he's going to give Cutler a shot, that could be another stopgap in allowing, Paxton Lynch to get another year holding the clipboard and learning the offense. I mean, Elway is a very smart guy, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. He saw the writing on the wall with Brock Osweiler. He saw the struggles before anyone else in the NFL did. And if Elway is the next front office executive convinced that he can bring Jay Cutler to the next level, Jay Cutler might find himself in Denver in this next coming season. That could be a very interesting thing with Jay Cutler's arm. Yeah, it's inconsistent, but he's got a strong arm with the wide receivers of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. That could be a pretty lethal trio right there in terms of quarterback and wide receivers. I also think you can't write off the Houston Texans. They are almost Super Bowl ready. They are a couple pieces away from being able to fix the one problem they have, and that's the quarterback. Bill O'Brien, the head coach for the Texans, thought he had fixed that in the offseason when they signed Brock Osweiler. But wasn't that one of the most disappointing moves of this offseason for, if you're a Texans fan. I mean, they have another year of guaranteed money coming to Osweiler, but with a solid running game, plenty of wide receiver options, and a tremendous defense, they can't really afford another year for Osweiler to struggle under center and have that team, you know, with everything going forward for them at every other position, go downhill at the quarterback position. So if the Texans were to bring in Jay Cutler and get a productive season out of him, they could easily win the division again and be poised to put their name up there with the Patriots as a AFC contender. But that's a lot of pressure to put on Jay Cutler. But if he wants to start and he wants a chance to win, if the Texans don't land Tony Romo, Cutler could definitely provide them the best opportunity and definitely a better opportunity than Brock Osweiler, who has shown to be not a great quarterback. An interesting case that I don't think would actually happen, but maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars don't believe that Blake Bortles is the answer at quarterback. And with a brand new coach and front office, with Doug Marrone being the coach and Tom Coughlin being the president of football operations, if the two of them aren't convinced of Blake Bortles either, they could go a different way. And that way would be maybe not getting rid of Blake Bortles, but they may consider bringing in some other competition at the quarterback position, and that includes Jay Cutler. Now, if he wants to come to Jacksonville, beat out Blake Bortles, he could really give the Jaguars a boost. I mean, Cutler and Allen Robinson could form a tremendous duo with, you know, two quarterback gurus to help Cutler iron out any flaws he has, but he might finally prove that he's ready to take a team to a next level. I mean, the Jaguars are a miserable team, and really, is there any further they can go down? Probably not, but maybe Jay Cutler would be a big reason that they could go even further down. He is a locker room cancer, and so I don't know if the Jaguars bringing him in would be a good move, but that's one possibility. I think the 49ers have the strongest case, honestly. You know, you have a new coach, Kyle Shanahan, new GM, John Lynch. They've inherited a quarterback position that is a complete mess. Blaine Gabbert was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season until he proved what we already knew, is that he can't play the game of football. Colin Kaepernick took over. He didn't really show, you know, the ability to have the success that he did under John Harbaugh. And the 49ers are more certainly okay to move on from Kaepernick and Gabbert and start anew at their quarterback position. This is another team that could have a stopgap. I mean, if they go out and they pick North Carolina quarterback Mitch Trubisky or Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson or even Notre Dame quarterback Deshaun Kizer, you could actually bring in Jay Cutler and have him start for a season or two or three, and have one of those quarterbacks, you know, sit in the background and really take in what the offense and make the transition from college to the NFL a little more seamless. And so that could be a pretty good, interesting pairing right there with Jay Cutler and the 49ers. I mean, Jay Cutler's always had a great relationship with Mike Shanahan, who very well could be the silent voice of the 49ers front office and may encourage John Lynch and his son, Kyle Shanahan, to bring in Jay Cutler. But he'd only be keeping the seat warm. Yeah. But the 49ers could really be the ideal spot for Jay Cutler. Finally, the Browns. I mean, is there a more perfect spot and a more perfect calamity than the Cleveland Browns and Jay Cutler relationship? I mean, the Browns are a mess. Jay Cutler is a mess. I think it's a perfect marriage.
Yeah, two negatives make a positive, right?
You would think, yeah. I mean, they're coming off an abysmal 1-15 season. Hugh Jackson knows he can't have a similar season to keep his job for 2018. The Browns have the number one pick, but they'll certainly more than likely take Myles Garrett out of Texas A&M and not take a quarterback with that number one overall pick. They also have the 12th overall pick and could consider taking quarterback there. But, you know, would it not be the best thing for the Browns to go ahead and take a quarterback and have him learn a little bit before actually getting out there and getting abused? This would mean that they go ahead and get a veteran quarterback. Whether they keep Robert Griffin III or bring in a guy like Jay Cutler, that could be a thing that, you know, we're seeing a lot of teams move back to, is where these quarterbacks hold the clipboard, learn the offense a little bit better before they're just thrusted out into the environment of getting blasted by these great defenses. But for a career that will always be known as underachieving and never finding the right opportunity, ending Jay Cutler's career in Cleveland, it almost seems fitting. I mean, it almost seems like an unfortunate end for Jay Cutler's NFL career, and it seems just so right. Having said that, I think the 49ers are the best place for him to go. If not the Jets. The Jets already said there's zero chance. But I think the Jets could be an interesting one as well, because they have a veteran-laden team offense. They have a veteran defense. Why not bring another veteran quarterback in there? You're not going to get young overnight in the draft. And so go ahead and just bring it in. You have to have a win-now mentality in the NFL. And so bringing in Jay Cutler, which would be a vast improvement over Ryan Fitzpatrick and Bryce Petty and Geno Smith. I mean, it's a vast improvement over those. Is it a great improvement? No. But it's a vast improvement over those quarterbacks that they had play last year.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers are the best spot, especially if they draft a quarterback. They could have him sit behind Jay Cutler for a season or two. All right, let me go back to the poll real quick. Let's see. Reed writes in Major League, Angels in the outfield, the rookie, Bull Durham in terms of the top four baseball movies of all time. Brad says, I'm going to let you finish, but The Sandlot is the greatest baseball movie of all time. Thank you for your Kanye West impersonation
there.
Your
Conway of being like Kanye.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect right there. Sam writes in, Sandlot, Major League, The Rookie, and Hardball. All great answers. We're getting a lot of different answers, and I love it.
When you heard the 8 Men Out, you know what that's about?
No.
It's about the 1919 World Series Chicago White Sox scandal when they threw the series.
Oh, okay.
Because they were underpaid, so.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check that movie out. Sounds like a pretty good movie. You know what, Wally? We have one more pair of tickets to give away. Let's go ahead and do that during this commercial break. Coastal Carolina taking on the College of Charleston today. First pitch, 4 p.m. You can hear that on our airwave, Sports Radio 100.3 team. But why not go out there and support the Chanticleers in person? Call number 2 to 843-652-3776. 843-652-3776. Call number 2. You get 2 tickets to Coastal Carolina versus the College of Charleston today, 4 p.m. first pitch. We'll be right back on The Drive.
Get your sports fix on your morning drive into work. The Drive with Pat Payone and Wally B, 7 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
The Los Angeles Lakers, suffering their third losing season in a row. But now, with the clear leadership of Magic Johnson as president of basketball operations, he's personally inviting you to the Lakers games.
I need water and I'll be fine. If somebody throw me some water, just throw it in here. I don't need you to bring it, just throw it. See, I got, see there? See what happens? You got to keep it fun. Okay. Boom! Boom! Ready? Here we go. Come, join me, because we're going to have a magical night. I know I messed it up, but it was still good. Here we go.
The Los Angeles Lakers, they're number 6 out of 7 in their division.
What a welcome. Thank you, Magic Johnson, for that one. Welcome back to The Drive, 43 and a half minutes past the hour. Congratulations to Jimmy, who won our last pair of Coastal Carolina baseball tickets. Enjoy the game today, Jimmy. You know, as you heard from that, Magic Johnson. He has now been promoted to the president of basketball operations. And we saw the writing on the wall. Since he was hired as a, you know, advisor of basketball and business to owner Jeannie Buss, it seemed like, you know, he was coming for the jobs of general manager Mitch Kupchak and vice president of basketball operations and brother to Jeannie Buss, Jim Buss. I mean, there was hints dropped. You know, there was tweets out there. Even Magic Johnson said, if I was the president of basketball operations, this would be my first move. I mean, there was hints out there. But this is announced yesterday that Mitch Kupchak has been fired. Johnson will be promoted to the president of basketball operations, and Buss is no longer in his role with the Lakers, thanks to Magic Johnson himself. You know, basically, as soon as he was hired, it really looked like they were going to make a change. You know, Jeannie Buss, she had to allow her brother Jim to stick it, you know, stick to his 3 to 4 year timeline of making the Lakers a competitive team. So, you know, it would be a part of their game plan. But yet, there was no longer time to wait, and now was the time to make the move. And now Magic Johnson is in charge. The stunning aspect of this is happening 2 days before the February 23rd trade deadline.
Yeah.
2 days. Talk about shaking up your front office. And he's already done a move where they already moved Lou Williams onto the Rockets for Corey Brewer and a protected first-round pick. Unprotected first-round pick. So he's already made a move within the first couple hours of being promoted to this position.
He's working his magic already.
He is. I mean, he was a smart player. He turned into a shrewd businessman. And despite his amusing tweets, he's quite knowledgeable about the game of basketball. You know, he's respected around the league, and he should really help, you know, woo some potential free agents to back to Los Angeles just based on his name recognition and his basketball prowess. He's admitted this. What he's not savvy at is the collective bargaining agreement and the NBA salary cap. That is kind of important when you're the president of basketball operations. But those are some areas he's going to be trying to learn at. With the trade deadline rapidly approaching, they can't fall into the same type of thing that we saw the Kings have with Vlade Divac just a couple of days ago, just trading away that, you know, the house and the ship for nothing. It is noted, you know, that Johnson will not be the GM, but instead, who did he go out and hire? Rob Pelinka. Who's Rob Pelinka? That is Kobe Bryant's agent. Kobe Bryant and James Harden's agent right now. Yeah. So he's going to have to relinquish that role. But this is bringing in a money guy who's been in those conversations, those deals, those talks. So I thought this was a great move in the first place. But we're not here to talk about Rob Pelinka, who really no one knows about. We're here to talk about Magic Johnson. His savviness, his name recognition, his ability to relate to the players, his ability to attract some of the former talent of the Lakers back to L.A. to help this team get back to where they were, I think that's the greatest assets that Magic Johnson has. I really do. I think this is a bold move. Yep. I think it's a strong move. Would I have made it 2 days before the trade deadline? Probably not. But maybe, just maybe, we see a splash deal for the Lakers. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but in the offseason, maybe even next offseason, we will see the L.A. Lakers trying to attract some free agents back to L.A. To really put this team back near the top of the Western Conference. It's going to be hard to compete with the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs and the L.A. Clippers, but there's no reason why the L.A. Lakers, with their market, with the history, the legacy of the Lakers franchise, why they shouldn't be up there in the top four, top five teams in the Western Conference. You know, since the demise of Kobe Bryant's career, this L.A. Lakers team has just not been fulfilling their end of the deal. They've had a lot of top draft picks who've come in, and they're still young. There's still time. But I think making the move now, it was a very interesting move, but I think it had to happen. Mitch Kupchak, you know, he's a great GM, but he really didn't do anything special. He had some good draft picks. Jim Buss, I think that was the move that needed to happen. And so I'm glad to see that Jeannie Buss got the cojones to go ahead and move on from her brother, who, kind of was just given this role and given a 3 to 4 year timeline by his own marks. Of trying to improve this team. I think it was important to move on from them too, and that's exactly what the Lakers did. Interestingly enough, Buss and Kupchak, they tried to make a last-ditch effort to keep their jobs. And what was that? That was the attempt to trade for DeMarcus Cousins. It was the last-second deal that they were trying to throw out there, but the whole deal fell apart when the Kings wanted to go ahead and get one of the young pieces, Brandon Ingram from the Lakers, and Kupchak and Buss did not want to go ahead and relinquish that great piece. But it was very interesting to see that there was a last-ditch effort, a try-and-splash move to make by the outgoing Buss and Kupchak to keep their jobs. I think it's defensible that you don't get rid of Brandon Ingram for Cousins. I mean, it's not yes or no. It's hard to say whether, DeMarcus Cousins would have come in and signed a long-term deal with the Lakers. That's one big thing. But it's hard to also know what kind of player Brandon Ingram will be years from now. And so I think you had to hold on to him. I also think that the combination of some of the Laker greats coming back, Matt Johnson being the first one. He talked about bringing back Kobe Bryant. We talked about some other names, Rick Fox, Robert Horry. I mean, there's some big names that have been a part of this great legacy of the Lakers franchise, that bringing those guys back and possibly making a former player all-star roster of front office, I think that's a way that sports is going now. And I think the Lakers are not ahead of it, because there's other teams that are doing this as well. But I think this is the move that the Lakers would need to make in terms of bringing free agents into Los Angeles. You're going to build a great team through the draft. But if you don't have those great players right now in the NBA, like a Russell Westbrook or Anthony Davis or a LeBron James, I mean, not to say those guys are going to be moving to L.A. anytime soon. But if you don't have one of those big names, those young players just can't do it. The only team right now that is playing without a supposed big name with all young players is the Milwaukee Bucks. And they're having a strong year, and that's thanks to Giannis Antetokounmpo, mainly. But their young players are progressing at a good rate. I think right now the Lakers need to attract at least one or two free agents in this next coming offseason and to pair them up with their great rookies, and that'll make the biggest move for this franchise back to its dominant position at the top of the Western Conference. I like this move a lot. Let's see what the poll says. Do you like or dislike the Lakers hiring of Magic Johnson as president of basketball operations? 52% say like, 48% say don't care.
Closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought a lot of people would say don't care. Like or dislike, there's just not, more people have a dislike for the Lakers in general. Going back to the polls about Jay Cutler as well, what should the Chicago Bears do with Jay Cutler? Release him, 58%, trade him, 35%, 7% say keep him. If you can trade him, you have to do that. Because there's a lot of money on the line if you do release him. But if you can trade him and you find a trade partner, you have to do that. Release him is probably what's going to happen, though. If Jay Cutler were to be with a new team in 2017, what NFL team should he play for? 31% say other, and we got one response saying the Jets. Would just add to the calamity that's already there. 26% say the 49ers, 26% say the Texans, and 17% say the Denver Broncos. Going back to the polls real quick, Mike Newsom, he writes in, Sandlot, Field of Dreams, Major League, Mr. 3000. Those are some great things as well. And Jimmy, who just won our tickets, says, thanks for a chance to win CCU tickets, hashtag Sean's up. Enjoy the game, Jimmy. I'm going to be going out to that game as well today, so I cannot wait to be out there. All right, final word, what to watch, and a preview of tomorrow's show coming up after this commercial break.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your workday. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive. Just about 2.5 minutes left in today's show, Wednesday, February 22nd. Pat Fahon and Wally B. hanging out with you just for a couple more minutes. Final word, Coastal Carolina takes on College of Charleston today at 4 p.m., first pitch 4 p.m. You can hear that on our airwaves, Sports Radio 1.3 The Team, 3:45 pregame, 4 p.m. first pitch. And looking at College of Charleston so far this season, they are 2-1 after a three-game opening series versus the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens, Georgia. They won the first game 9-3, won the second game 15-6, and then lost the third game 8-9. They also had an incredible performance from one of their redshirt sophomores, Logan McCray, who's actually from Florence, South Carolina. He was named the CAA Player of the Week after launching two home runs and driving in a CAA best 9 runs to lead the College Charleston baseball team to a season opening series win over Georgia. For the weekend, McCray went 7-for-9 with 2 home runs, 6 runs scored, 9 RBIs as the College of Charleston took 2 of 3 from the Bulldogs. He also finished with 14 total bases, a .769 on base percentage, and a .1556 slugging percentage. He reached base in first of 7 appearances.
Go so freshman!
We redshirt sophomore. We will see him today. He'll be the person to watch in this game, but hopefully the Shawnee Cougars will come out victorious. What to watch tonight? A couple different basketball games for you. Central Florida at Temple, 7 p.m. ESPNU. Duke at Syracuse, 7 p.m. ESPN. TCU at Kansas, 7 p.m. ESPN2. Xavier at Seton Hall, 7 p.m. Fox Sports 1. The best games of the night happen at the same time, and that is Butler at Villanova, 9 p.m. Fox Sports 1, and Louisville at North Carolina, 9 p.m. ESPN. Both of those games are going to be incredible. I highly suggest you watch those games a little bit later tonight. Oklahoma State takes on Kansas State, 9 p.m. ESPNU, and Oregon at California, 9 p.m. ESPN2. Those are all the games in college basketball. Been a great show. Appreciate everyone participating on Twitter and giving us phone calls. For Wally B., I'm Pat Payone. Everybody, have a great Wednesday.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting, Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.